Good morning, church. Good morning. We do remember, don't we, those that have served our country and have lost their lives, and we remember them, especially this Memorial Day weekend. Would encourage you tomorrow to take some time out of your day to remember those that have served and given their lives for our country. But right now, it is about worship. It is about our Heavenly Father, our Savior that gave His life for each of us and for our salvation. So glad that you're here with us today. What a joy it is for us to gather together and to worship our Heavenly Father. Amen. Amen. You guys are alive and well today. Love it. Way to go. Way to go. Just a few reminders for you. Once again, every Sunday we have Steeps and Sweets. Join us at 9:15, 9:30, somewhere around there so that you can come in and enjoy a beverage like coffee. And enjoy it, or tea, or something along those lines, and get to know other people here at the church. And then just a reminder for you, we have various ways in which you can give your tithes and offerings. We do that online. We do that with a box in the back, or you can use the USPS, and that is just fine. For those of you that are teenagers, there's about 10 of you, and maybe not 10. There's some of you that are interested in going on the local mission trip. Forms are technically due today, but we'll extend that grace period because we're all about grace. And we want all the kids to that are interested, can get interested, and would be wanting to go, can go. So see me afterwards if you're interested. We are kind of moving into our summer schedule, and along with that means that children will remain in the worship service except for our littlest ones. If you're have a child that is below 4 years old, we have nursery available for you, but for Children's Church, we during the summer months, we love our kids to join us in worship for the entire summer, and so if you are in need of some activity bags, they are located behind in that area. It's not really a narthex. It's not a foyer. It's kind of like a overflow. It's kind of like a staging area. We could call it, since there's a kitchen right out behind it, it's the living room. I don't know. It's there. We are also doing this summer on June 16th. There's a coordination of going to a Colonels minor league baseball game on June 16th. And if you are interested, we'd love it if you would sign up. And that is done in the kitchen window. Cost is $11 or $15, depending on how many people are interested in going. There's a certain number threshold. And either way, $11, $15, that's almost cheaper. $11 is definitely cheaper than an adult ticket to the movies. So go and enjoy baseball. And that's national pastime. Is it still national pastime? All right. I say soccer is taking over, but that's just me. Let's see. Other things that you need to know. We have a garden. Did you know that we have a garden that's out that way? And guess what? A lot of things have already been planted, and we are going to be needing everybody that is interested in helping out in the near future to not only take care of the garden, to water the garden, to get rid of weeds and things like that, but if you are at all interested in helping out with the garden, let me know, let Tom Kenchlow know, let Mark Carter, who's not here today, know, or Rich Bartholomew, let somebody know. John Lewis, let him know. Talk to somebody and say, hey, I'm interested in helping out with the garden, so that we know that you are interested. And then when we have needs, we can contact you. The other thing that we're going to need in the near future is a distribution coordinator. Official title, okay? Distribution coordinator, because our whole goal with the garden is to not enjoy it ourselves, but to give it away. and to give it away to our community here. And so that's what we would love to do, but we need help in getting it organized and all that stuff. If you're an organized person and you have some extra time to help with this, I would love to know, because we're expecting that there's going to be a great harvest, because God is good, right? And he grows things, and we just get to be the green thumb that helps out along the way. And because we've got lots of people helping out, we're going to have a great harvest. And I walked back there just the other day, and I already saw onions popping up, already saw some other things. There were some tomatoes, I do know that, and some peppers and things like that. So we're going to have a great harvest, and it's going to be fantastic, but we need help. So if you are interested, let me know. Let's see. That's all I got for announcements. So let's pray, and then we'll jump into today's message. Father God, thank you so very much for your grace, for your mercy, for your love for us. And God, this morning, we not only just pray that you would allow us to hear your voice today, but that you would challenge us by what we hear, what we discover, and how we can live our lives to glorify you. Lord, we desperately need your continued work in our lives. Without you, we're aimless. But with you, we have a direction. We have a purpose. We can take the words of the Great Commission to go into all the world, Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. We know what we are supposed to do because we have that commission that you have given us. And so, God, we thank you for that. We thank you that you love us the way that you do. And we thank you, Father, that today, when we realize that it's not just any ordinary Sunday, but it's a church day that we remember that it was Pentecost Sunday, that your fire fell down from heaven upon the disciples, and they began to preach, and people from all over the world understood what was being said because they were hearing it in their own language. God, you did a miraculous thing that day. And we want to quantify it. We want to say how this happened, but we just know that miraculously you spoke to thousands of people and they heard your word. They heard the story of Jesus, that he died for the sins of the world and was resurrected, that death was defeated, and Jesus is alive. And we remember that day today. And we pray that that same fire would fall on us today. That same fire would live within us so that we may go into the world. Maybe it's not the entire world. Maybe it's just the world of Cedar Rapids for your glory and for your kingdom to be established and to grow. Light a fire within us today, God. Light a fire in us that can't be quenched by anything. So, God, we thank you. We love you. We give you praise because your name is worthy. And we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Someone once said, I might be, you might be, we might be the only Bible other people will ever read. We talked about it last week. We talked about this statement, and we realized that this is a huge, massive, audacious statement. And we kind of agreed last week that that is true. And that would give us a huge responsibility, that we would have a responsibility that you and I would be the Bible opened up for others. And that just has been resonating with me all week long, because what that does for us is that reminds us that the vertical relationship that we have with God is vital and important, but the horizontal relationship that we have with others is just as important. And the way in which we live, the way in which we do life matters vertically and horizontally. And so, therefore, we have to realize that there is something that we're supposed to do. And part of that is the relationship that we have with other believers. This sermon series is geared majoritively. I don't think that's a word. Nope. I just made that one up, majoritively. It's majorly focused. Let's try that. It's majorly focused, primarily, we're going to throw in every word that I can think of in the next 5 seconds on how we're supposed to focus this. Primarily, that's it. That's all I got. It is primarily focused on our relationship with other believers. Okay? Now, disclaimer. There's going to be a portion of today's message that you can say, but wait a minute, that can be applied to non-believers as well. Absolutely. But we're focusing in on the one another, you and me, us with each other, and how we can build one another up, how we can help. And this idea of one another happens about 30 times within Scripture, where we talk about honor one another, submit one another, love one another, encourage, bear with one another, fellowship with one another, serve with one another, and my favorite is greet one another with a holy kiss. And you heard me talk about that last week, and actually Oh, that was just, you know, your pastor sometimes just gets on a rabbit trail and he goes, and we'll just stop right there. If you want to remember what I said, you can listen to last week's message. But one another is an important aspect of the body of Christ, something that you and I should pay a lot more attention to, because our mindset, especially as North Americans, we have this Lone Ranger mentality that we can take on the world by ourselves. And I don't know why we think that way. Actually, we could probably diagnose it. We could cut it up and we could say, yep, that's exactly why. But the thing is that that's not how the body of Christ is supposed to live. We are supposed to rely on one another. We are supposed to be encouraged by one another. We are supposed to serve along with one another. We are supposed to spur one another on to love and good deeds. We are not an island. But how many times are we an island spiritually? We're probably better at it emotionally and relationally, but spiritually, there are times when we are completely an island. And I think that that's a dangerous thing. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And I'm going to take a quick little detour just for a second, okay? Because one of the things that is going on in this entire passage of Scripture is that Paul is talking to the Thessalonians, a church that had some struggles, but he's talking to them about the coming of the Lord and all the stuff that is going to be going on in the future days. And he is reminding them that we have to build ourselves up. We have to protect ourselves. We have to put on the armor of God. He even mentions those things here in Thessalonians, and he's talking about the importance of protection, but he also is talking about the power of God and Jesus Christ dying for us so that we, when we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. And then he says, therefore, in all of what I've been talking about, therefore, encourage one another. We are in this together. Now, that's just a brief synopsis. I could do an entire sermon on all the things that were leading up to this, but know for this right now that Paul is saying the day is coming when God is going to return and Jesus is going to come back and take us that are alive in him back to be with him. But along the way, encourage one another. Okay? So, that was your little background. I'll come back to it a little bit, but here's the other thing. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, a completely different writer in the New Testament says this, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Whoa, big verse right there that tells us that this encouragement that we should be talking about today should be happening every day. How often do you talk to not just your spouse who's a part of the church, but someone else in the church, and you might not have encouraged them that day? There might be some times when I don't encourage you when we talk. Maybe if we all took it a little bit more seriously, that when we rub shoulders with each other during the daytime, we actually would encourage one another. And we'd be like, I see John Lewis when he comes into the building and he's helping out with different things in the church. And I should be intentionally encouraging him, and he should be intentionally encouraging me by something that we say to one another. We need to encourage each other daily. Here's the picture of okay. So here's a picture. I love this picture. I'm stepping away because I like to see it. So sorry, John, you're not going to see me on the camera. I'll come back over. Sorry. Okay. Anybody watch any basketball this last winter up until, okay, all right. A lot of you watched a lot of basketball because of everything that was going on with the Hawkeyes and all that. And if you want to go forward, we'll throw the guys in there as well. There's the guys. Okay, we'll go back to the girls because they did really awesome. But, I mean, the guys did great too, but the girls did a phenomenal job this year in Iowa basketball. And the reason why I pick them is because obviously we're Iowans, and so we need to just recognize something about Iowa basketball. But here's the thing: have you ever noticed that when there's someone that they're sitting there and they're standing, they're going to take a free throw. They shoot the free throw, and then the people that are on the line, they come and they shake their hand. Okay. They give a high five or a low five. And before they do the next one, they're like huddling together. And they, every time out, they're huddling together. They're patting each other on the back. They're cheering one another on. They are encouraging one another. What cracks me up the most is when it's just one Hawkeye that is at the free throw line. All the others are behind them, like a ways away. And they shoot the free throw. They might miss, and they're looking for the high five in the middle of the key. And there's nobody there. There's just the defenders, but they're still looking for it. And then the person pops up around the game, they high five over there, and then they're ready to take the next shot. It absolutely cracks me up. Next time you watch basketball, you could watch basketball now because the NBA finals are going on, but it happens in the pros as well, where there's nobody around and they're looking for the high fives and they don't get it. But the idea is that they miss or make the shot, there is encouragement. There is this camaraderie. There is this amount of just togetherness on the basketball court, and they do it extremely well. And I would say that the girls, the ladies' basketball team, does it better than most guys' team. They root for one another. They love to cheer each other on. They love each other. Make it or miss it, good shot or bad shot, doesn't matter. They're not getting upset. They're cheering them on. That's the picture that Paul is painting, that the writer of Hebrews is painting for us this morning. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Can you imagine if Caitlin Clark is shooting the basketball and one of her teammates is down and like, oh, she shot it again from a half court line and she banked one off the backboard. Do you think that Caitlin would be willing to shoot that shot again if her teammates aren't supporting her? Absolutely not. If she goes and she shoots a little one by the top of the key, one that she could make any day of the week, but she misses and the teammates not rallying her and picking her up, do you think she's going to take that next shot? Caitlin Clark probably would, because she's a shooter. She is a shooter. But one of the other teammates might not be willing to take that shot, but with a little bit of encouragement, the next open look, shoot. Boom, make it. The idea is that we, no matter what's going on, no matter how hard it is, no matter how beaten down you are in your life, encourage one another. Encourage one another. Paul is attempting to paint this picture for the Thessalonian church, because there were some real difficult days going on in the Thessalonian church. Tremendous persecution. And Paul is reminding them that to encourage one another is the way in which they are going to make it through the difficult days that they've already experienced and will be experiencing. Think about for just a second the times when you have been the most beaten down. What helped you through? Might have been a simple card that was written in love. It might be that comment of, hey, you got this. Or even better, God's got this. It might be something else, but the moment that you got a little bit of encouragement from somebody else, did that give you enough to get through? You bet your bottom dollar it did. Absolutely. I have a box in my office. I've got a lot of boxes in my office. I don't know why. But I've got a little box that's a shoe box. And whenever I get an encouraging note, card, picture, you name it, it goes in that box. Why? So that when I am dealing with a little bit of a rough day, guess what I do? I find that box and I go through and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm encouraged. I'm built up. If it's a picture, it goes on the back of my door because that's where I like to put them. So when my door is shut, I'm seeing beautiful art from little kids or my kids from back in the day. They used to like to draw me pictures every Sunday. They go up on my door. The idea is an encouragement that goes along with it. There are some nuances to this word encouragement. The Greek word is parakaleo, and it invokes this type of mentality to beseech or to exhort. You can think of it as a fanning the flame. So think of a blacksmith. You know, you've seen those guys in the movies where they're banging and hammering on the metal and things like that. But in order for them to get the metal hot enough, they have to get the fire going, and they use this billow type thing. They push it down and it whoosh, pushes all kinds of air into there, and then the fire gets hotter. Are you with me on this one? All right, good. Because I need to know if you're catching me. If you're not catching me, then we got a problem. And I didn't put a picture up on the screen, so we're in trouble. So the billow is going and the flames are getting hotter and they're getting higher and everything is just going. And that's the idea, is that we are fanning the flame in each other when we encourage one another, because we have the Holy Spirit within us. We have the Holy Spirit that dwells with us. And one of the things that we need is the body of Christ to fan the flame and be reminded that we have the Spirit of God who is powerful than anything else in our lives. And we need each other to kind of build us up. So fan the flame in someone's life. The other idea is the exhortation or to inspire. So sometimes you need to be thinking about those famous movies of the military sort that there's the general or the commander of the army. And right before they go to, this is one of Hollywood's most famous cliches in movies is when they go prepare to go to battle, the general or the commander is speaking to the army left to right, and he's yelling as loud as he can. You've seen this in the movies, right? Lord of the Rings, Braveheart, that type of thing. And guess how many people probably heard the battle cry? About five, because their voices just don't carry. But we all get emotional. Think Aragorn before the Black Gate in Lord of the Rings. Oh my goodness. I almost read you the entire thing that he says to everybody, but I didn't want to nerd out too much on Lord of the Rings or Braveheart or you name it, Pirates of the Caribbean. I could just go on and on. There's plenty of these types of moments where there is this inspirational speech that is given before they go to battle. You and I need that type of encouragement because we go to battle every day. We go to battle every day. We are battling the gates of hell. We are battling the temptations that bombard us. We are battling the difficulties that the evil one wants to thrust at us all day long. The flaming arrows, right, that we talked about last year about this time when we were talking about the armor of God. The armor of God was to extinguish the flaming arrows and the shield that would hold those things back. But we need the encouragement of one another in order to withstand those things. We need to encourage one another. We need to build each other up. This is a construction term that we would be building up and from a foundation up, build someone up with the words that we communicate. Okay, I've like already preached this entire message and I am only halfway through. Whew. So a couple of things. Did you know that there was a study done a number of years ago with 17,000 families all over the world, 27 different countries, measuring the health of families? And they discovered the ratio of positive to negative comments has a significant impact on how they define a healthy family. A family that was considered to be healthy would have a ratio of positive, encouraging words of about 10 to 1. So for every one negative or discouraging word, there was in need of 10 or 20 encouraging words for these families to be healthy. Isn't that just mind-boggling? But isn't it true that a negative word we will dwell on, hold on to, and savor in not a good way, but the encouraging word, we'll need to hear it about 7, 8, 9, 10 times before it begins to sink in. Maybe you're like me. When you hear a negative, man, those negatives hurt. And the positives need to outnumber the negative. Positivity is critical. And I think there's some biblical perspectives for it. Example is this, is that I just finished reading a devotional that was covering the first three chapters of Revelation. This is the section of scripture where Jesus is instructing John the Revelator to write letters to the churches, the old churches. And if you notice, if you have ever read those, what you would see is that there is some scathing rebukes of those early churches. But the rebuke never took place before the compliment. There was always a compliment to the seven churches, at least one, even if it was a minor compliment, there was always a compliment before the rebuke. Always a compliment before there was a rebuke. And so we are not called to tear each other down. We're not called to tear one another down. We are called to build each other up. Does that mean we avoid the hard conversation? Absolutely not. But criticism is not a spiritual gift. So how do we do this? How do we practically figure out how to make this live out in our lives? How do we encourage one another, and how do we make it real in our lives? Well, here's three things that we can do. First one is this, is catch people doing things right. Oh, catch people doing things right. Let's be honest, we're really good at catching people doing the wrong thing, right, parents? Come on, this is true, isn't it? We are very good at seeing little Johnny, or Johnny, he's back there. Little anybody, little Chopper, doing wrong things, but the right things we're not always catching. Catch people doing the right thing. Instead of watching for the failures, let's watch for the victories. And when we see the right things happen, share them. Tell them about it. Celebrate them. Give credit where credit is due. Praise God for the things that go well. Catch one another doing right things. It's simple, it's practical, but how often are we willing to do it? If we are really to encourage one another, this is just the way that we do it. We could really boil down people to two different categories, couldn't we? No matter how good things are, there are people that will find something wrong. And no matter how bad things are, we will find someone who finds something good in the bad. Which are you? Are you the person that no matter how good things are, you find the negative? Or are you the other way around, where no matter how bad things are, you find the positive? My wife likes to say that her blood type is B positive, which it is, but B positive. Mark Twain says, I think it was Mark Twain, that I can live 2 months on one good compliment. But here's the thing I want you to catch, is that Jesus did this as well. Jesus complimented the things that he saw that were good. Do you remember the woman of ill repute that anointed his feet at the Pharisees' table? And how everybody else was looking at her and picking out the wrong things that she was doing. And Jesus said that the thing that you have done will be talked about forever. She was caught doing something really good before he goes to the cross. And he told her about it. When's the last time you saw something good in a person and said, I saw you do this, with a big smile on your face and excited for what they did? Second thought is this: compliment like crazy. Compliment like crazy. If you want to encourage anybody and build them up, compliment them like crazy. Crazy. I heard the story about a guy and his brother-in-law that are having a contentious tennis match. I don't know how tennis can get, tennis can get contentious, but among brother and brother-in-law, I don't know about that. That seems like it's pretty competitive. But when it was competitive, the one was just so complimentary that the competitive edge dropped. The bitterness dropped. Me and my brothers would not do that very well. We get a little too competitive. But the power of the tongue is amazing. James 3, 1 through 12 talks about the power the tongue has. It's compared to to a rudder on a ship to turn the entire ship, like the bit in a horse's mouth, the ability to turn all of that. But Proverbs tells us that the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Have you ever thought that the power of your tongue has the power of life and death? That you could compliment someone and build them up to the point that they are just ready to go. Or you can tear them down to the point where they can't even function. You know the saying, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all. Out of the overflow of our heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the overflow of our heart, the status of your heart and mind is what comes out of our mouths. Let's be a gift to one another. Compliment people behind their back. If you wouldn't say it to their face, don't say it behind their back. And maybe if you're struggling in this area, if you have an issue with a person, or if there's something going on within a relationship, instead of saying anything at all, just pray for them and see how your heart will change towards them. And sometimes we need to look ourselves in the mirror and don't criticize someone for something that we don't like in ourselves. Sometimes we need to look at ourselves and say, do I like that? Does it exist in me? If I don't like someone's pride, does that same pride live in me? And if so, maybe I need to criticize my own heart first before I criticize theirs. Jesus talked about don't take the speck out of someone else's eye until you take the plank out of your own eye. I thought about it, man, that just doesn't, we need to reword it, but let's get a little bit more visual, okay? All right, can we handle Pastor Chopper's visual representation of this? Okay, don't go digging for eye boogers. Okay, hold on, I got a whole lot more to say on this one, okay? Don't go digging for eye boogers when you're blinded by your own junk. We know the things that sit in the corner of our eyes when we wake up, that's just natural. It's part of life. Let's just be okay with it. We got lots of names for them, but eye boogers is one of my favorites. But we shouldn't be picking those things out in others when we're struggling with our own pride, jealousy, competitiveness, greed, sins. Let's take care of ourselves before we point out. But along the way, encourage, compliment, build each other up. Now, this next one is the one that applies to both inside and outside the body of Christ. It is a vital part of who we are as followers of Jesus, and it is this: share your testimony. Say it with me. Share your testimony. Simply put, there are people in your life that you need to tell your story to. There are people in your life that need to know your story. It could be a friend, could be a colleague, could be a coworker, could be a neighbor, could be the person that you are praying for, and you're not seeing how all those prayers are being answered just yet. Maybe you need to share your story with them. They need to know how God has worked in your life. They need to hear about the victories. They need to hear about the pains. They need to hear about the disappointments. They need to know how you have managed it all with the power of God and how you have been pressed, crushed, but not abandoned. They need to hear your story. Your hurt could be someone else's healing. Your testimony is powerful. Any testimony of God working in the life of a person is powerful. And you need to share it. Does that mean that we need to videotape it and put it out there? Maybe someday. But maybe you just need to build in a relationship and talk to somebody about how God has worked in your life. Revelation 12, 11. Man, I've probably talked about Revelation more today than I have in a really long time. But 12, 11 says this. They overcame him, talking about Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Testimony is powerful, especially when it's focused in on the blood of the Lamb. Will you share your story? It's a number of years ago. Oh, I think this was pre-COVID, where we talked about one person that we can be sharing the gospel with, one person that we can be praying for, one person that we might invite. And over the course of the last how many ever years, every now and then I hear this the statement of, That's my one, or this person is my one, or I just hear comments back and forth. I have a one. Just talked to my number one yesterday. And I'm praying, I'm hoping, I'm knowing that someday God's going to get a hold of this person. Someday, when the time is right, through relationship, he is going to know who Jesus is in a powerful way. And I'm reminded that I need to share my story with him. He's heard bits and pieces of it, but he needs to know how Jesus has changed me. You need a one that you can pray for, speak to, encourage, and share your story. St. Francis of Assisi says this, is that preach the Bible and when necessary, use words. I think that statement gets attributed to a variety of people, but I think he's the one who originated it. Preach the Bible and when necessary, use words. Last thought is this. You know how in the court world or TV courtroom world, there's often this statement of, I plead the fifth. We don't get to use that in the church. Just so you know, we don't get to use that in the church. We don't get to say, oh, I don't get to tell you that. We have spent way too much time not talking about Jesus in all aspects of our lives, and I think that needs to change. Just yesterday, this is a fun little statement. Yesterday, I'm at a graduation party, and a guy that I've known for a number of years, him and I are talking, and he's a fun guy. He's from the Netherlands, and I don't know which country that means, but he's from that area, okay? And we're talking, and he knows that I'm a pastor, and so often the conversation leads towards church things, and he's from a totally different church world. But he was telling me about how there's all these different splits in his church tree, I guess, if you want to talk about it. And at one point in time, they got so upset within the hierarchy of this church that they kicked everybody else out, and they said, if you are not of this denomination, you don't go to heaven. And I'm like, whoa, hold on. And I know there's churches out there that if it's any other, it's no good. And I said, huh, they don't talk about Jesus, huh? And he looked at me, he's like, yeah, They're caring about the denomination and not Jesus. My point behind that is that we need to talk Jesus. Our focus has to be him. And you've heard me say it, that it doesn't matter if the people that we interact with ends up going to another church. As long as that church talks Jesus, preaches Jesus, knows that Jesus died for our sins, that is building the kingdom. That's what matters. That's what matters. If they end up coming here, awesome. We'll love them just like we should. But this is not the Wesleyan Church and the Living Hope is not by itself the kingdom of God. It's a big kingdom, but it always comes back to Jesus. So encourage one another. Build each other up. Those three things that we talked about, share your story, compliment like crazy, and catch people doing things right will help us along with this. And it happens here, and it happens with other believers where we are at. Next week, we'll continue on with this sermon series. In the meantime, let's have the worship team, Sherry, come and lead us in singing. So why don't you all stand? I'll pray for us, and then we will end our time together with singing. Father God, we are so very grateful that we have this opportunity to come before you and worship you and know, God, that we are a part of this big thing called the church. It is bigger than what we understand, but what we do always understand is that the church that is focused in on you as Lord and Savior is the kingdom that we want to be a part of. And so, God, we are thankful that we get to be a part of that because of your blood and because of your salvation and the resurrection of your Son. And we're so very grateful. God, will you give us the courage to encourage one another? To build each other up, to catch people when they do right things, to compliment like crazy, and to share our story. Sometimes, God, we need to share that story with other believers so that it will challenge them and encourage them. Even if our story doesn't have dynamic elements of it, if it's just we were raised in a Christian family, Lord, that is so encouraging to others. Help us to not be ashamed of our story, but to share it with one another. God, you are so good, and we worship you, we praise you, and we give you all the glory. And in Jesus' name, everyone says, amen. Thanks so much for being with us today. Let's sing together.